Good morning, Gateway. Welcome to the service this morning. Let's stand as we praise God and give Him all the glory. Thank Him for this wonderful rain we had. There's a place.
Morning, Gateway. May the Lord be with you, and let's greet those around us.
I was tired of standing in one spot, so I walked a bit. Fellow congregants are not in a hurry to sit down this morning.
No, that's right. Eh? Okay. Okay, enough socializing now. Please take your seat. Marilyn? Good morning, everybody. As most of you probably know, that Cindy's busy organizing a farewell tea for Karina, who's been with us for over 20 years. She's been serving in the office. And it'll be nice to have a good send-off for her as she goes into retirement at the end of next month, end of March. So she's asked me to just read this notice out. It was read last week, and this will be the last time that we'll be reading this. Good morning, everyone. Just a reminder for those who weren't here last Sunday, we are planning a farewell tea for Karina's retirement at the end of March. We have tried to keep it a secret as far as possible, but she will know something is going on. I've no doubt that she already knows by now. The tea will be on Saturday, the 22nd of March at 2 p.m. here in the church. Men and ladies are invited. There's something different, isn't it? Usually these teas are just for the ladies, isn't it? So we cracked the nod here, Mick. Great. Okay, so men and ladies have been invited. We have arranged for children to be catered for in the kids' church. Yes, we are going to be limited for space, so it'll be great if the children don't stay in here, but go out where they will be catered for. For catering purposes, please give your name to Christine, who's not here today, but you can still do it. And Sue, is Sue here? Yeah, thanks, Sue West, or Cindy. And we ask if people could bring a prepared plate of eats. We're not going to have lots of time to be buttering rolls and all that sort of thing. So whatever you bring, please make it that it's ready to serve, ready to go on the table. We would like to give Karina a gift from the church and not individual gifts. If you are able, please to give any donation to Christine or Cindy or Sue. So yeah, if you are able and if you would like to, don't feel under any obligation, but we would like to present you with a gift as well. So, looking forward to a lovely afternoon. Love, Cindy. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Al. maybe just a quick announcement. The Youth Alpha is on the go at the moment. It is on a Friday evening at 6 p.m. So, if there's any young people that wish to join, please bring your friends along. It's a rather interesting time, a really relaxed time that we have with them. Also, just a final notification that Wayne is cycling at the moment. I believe he's something like 20-odd kilometers into his 116-kilometer trip. So, yeah, certainly fitter than I am. I probably could. I just about managed to make my car from here, so that's it. Then, yes, we want to thank Andre, who's filling the pulpit here this morning and as a termination of his Walking in Victory course. So we welcome Andre. All right. And then over to the worship team. Thanks, guys.
Let's stand and worship. We're no longer slaves to fear. Praise you, Lord.
Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. To all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave.
Child of God, you flip the tree.
stand and say, I am a child of God.
Yes, I am.
I am a child of God. I am the child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Father, that you look over us. You cover us with that blood of yours, Father. You paid the ultimate price. That's why we can call you God. We don't need to fear. Thank you, Lord.
Story. You still reign.
Worthy is your name, Jesus.
Worship. Thank you, Lord, we can uplift your name through songs and praise your wonderful name. You are holy. We cry out holy to you, Lord. You heal the sick. You heal the lame. You raise up the dead. You are holy. Holy is your name. One more time. And we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for worship. Jesus. Amen. Can we offering be now be taken up for the work of the Lord? Thank you. Thank you.
Before I present our gifts to the Lord in the form of a prayer, I would like to just let everyone remember that, yes, as we thank God for the gift of life and the health and strength, there's others of our friends and family and relatives who are still battling with sickness and illness. But for this time, we need to remember them and present them to God so that He will have extra mercy on them and give them healing. I've got Anne Van Kake, Mark Files, Emily Stridom, Julie Simpson, Colin Croco. These are not the only ones who are sick amongst us. There's some who are here. We have forced themselves that, no, let me go and hear the word. Maybe I'll receive what I'm asking for. So as we pray, let us remember these names and those ones that I haven't mentioned, but some of us, we know they are sick. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you once again this morning to give praise and honor and glorify your name. For you are the only one who is worthy to be praised. You are the only one who is worthy to be glorified. Lord, I want to ask for your mercy, healing mercy, to all those ones whom we have mentioned by names and the other ones that are here. We did not mention them by name to you, but they are sick. All of them, they need your healing, Lord. Bless them and heal them. And Lord, I want to thank you for the gifts that we have collected this morning. We have seen where they have come from. We have seen how hard we have worked to get these gifts to your house. Lord God, glorify them and bless them so that they will multiply to be used for the furtherance of your wisdom, for the furtherance of your word, and for bringing healing to your people. Lord God, I want to thank you for these four that are in front of us. We have volunteered to do this collection. Bless them as well, as each and every Sunday we strive to get people to do this job for us. Let these ones be the volunteers that will be here again and again. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I saw the app went out yesterday that you were pre-warned that I'm going to be here, so you suckers for punishment. Would like to hold out your hands and let's just thank the Lord for this morning, and that the Lord will enable us to hear His voice and to change. Would you hold out your hands and say after me, Father God. Let's say it aloud. Father God, I'm your child. You have chosen me. You have appointed me. You have called me to bear fruits. And this morning, Lord, I put myself available. Speak to me. Change me. I ask for that in Jesus' name. Father, as we call on your name this morning to trust you, that you will speak, that you'll come through. You know what we face, but nothing is too big for our God. So we are confident this morning, Lord, that we can hold out our hands in a receiving mode and just say, thank you that I can be at peace and be still. And know that you are God. Can you say amen? Amen. 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 Be still and know that I am God. This phrase is called to surrender all anxiety and trust in God's sovereignty. Essentially saying that even amidst chaos and turmoil, God remains in control an ultimate source of peace and strength. So we should quiet ourselves and acknowledge His power instead of striving against our circumstances. And it sounds so easy to say that. And you can look me in the face and say, Andre, you've got no clue what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing at this moment. And I don't know. Only God knows what you're facing. And maybe what you're going to face next week, next month. You don't know what's lying ahead. But this morning I would like to share with you just somehow a principle in Scripture that will help you tremendously in your walk with God. That you come to a place of being quiet before God and allow God to step in your circumstances. The first thing that we need to understand here is what does it mean to be still? It's a call to quiet your mind, your heart. You have to quiet it. And it's the most difficult part when your mind races and you're trying to think of 1,000 different solutions and you want to suggest God some ideas how He can solve it as well. And the thing is, you have to quiet. God says, be quiet. And now we have to try and switch off. And you think, you know, doesn't the Presbyterian church maybe sell a switch that you can switch yourself off, you know? You know, God, I'm waiting for you. You press the button and you become quiet. And you know, how rich this church will be called if we have that button that we can sell. Our tithing will just skyrocket like that, you know. I'm not even talking about, you know, this instant holiness powder that we're going to sell one of these days as well, you know. We're going to make it, my friend, you know. But the challenge is, you know, to let go. How do you let go of your worry and your frustrations and the striving to really focus on God's presence? And the part where it says to know God, what does it mean to know God? To recognize God's ultimate power. We sang the song, be still and know that I'm God. The whole worship this morning was trying to prepare your heart to receive, to try and do something different what you used to do. Because somehow, maybe what you used to do is not working. We are suckers that we keep on doing the same thing and we expect different results. And maybe God calls you this morning to do it differently. And maybe try it. But the thing is, you have to have time to do it. God wants time. But the problem is we're too busy. We're too busy to give God time. And time is what God wants. Because waiting on God, you have to give God time. Recognize God's ultimate power and authority over all things. Whether you think what's happening to you is not from God, or it is from God, or bad things do not happen to good people, or whatever your theology is. The fact of the matter is, God knows everything. Whether it's your own fault, whether it's the devil, whatever it is, the thing is that it doesn't caught God by surprise, whatever happens to you. God doesn't say, oops, I didn't know that's going to happen to you. God knows exactly, even before it happened, God knows. And the thing is, the bottom line is God allows it. God allows that to happen to you. How bad it is, how terrible it is, God knows. Because God is sovereign. God is not just all-powerful, omnipotent, how do you say that, or omnipresent. You know, that's the word, thanks. omnipresent, you know. God knows in advance. Exactly. And we have to believe that, you know. So it's a yielding. How do you yield your will? First your will. It's then your mind, then your emotions. That soul part of yours. God doesn't ask you to actually yield your emotion first, because it's difficult to yield your emotion first. You have to start with a willpower that you choose. God, I don't understand what I'm going through. I'm battling with this thing. You know, I don't know what you are doing. You don't understand whatever, but I choose. There's a choice. I sat with a girl yesterday and she felt this is too much. Maybe this the hurt and the pain that has happened to her. And I said to her, it's fine. Don't condemn yourself. It's fine where you are now. The thing is, you just have to write down where you are now. Write it down. And make a big arrow next to it. And put a circle around it and says, this must change. I choose what you want for me. But this must change. Because if you're going to hold on to that where you are now, it's just going to get worse. Nothing is going to change. So it's a yielding that you choose and say, I will do it. And then it's amazing how your mind starts to fall in line, because with your mind you mentioned what the word says. And the power of the word starts to influence your emotion. So never focus on your emotions, because you know, Jesus didn't feel, you hear what I'm saying? When he went to the cross, he didn't feel love for the human race. He made a decision according to God's will. And because of that decision, he made a willful decision. His mind was in line with God's will. And he knew what was the end result, because, you know, he's God at the same time. But I'm telling you, the word agape has got nothing to do with emotions. And that's the word it's used, you know, when God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son. Because the word agape means it's a decision of your will. It's a decision. I decide I'm not going to carry on with this. It's going to change. It's a decision. That decision you have to make. The Bible says the righteous person... Any righteous people here? Can I see your hand? Yoch, you know, let's try again. Any righteous people here? Can I see your hand? Aye. Come on, you know. According to Bible, if you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you are righteous. It's not that you do everything right, you know. But God, according to Scripture, you are declared righteous. Amen. Whether you think that or not. It's a thought. So can I ask again? If you accepted Christ Jesus, are you righteous? Hallelujah. Okay, wave it high. High in the sky, you know. You're righteous. But the thing is, what the Bible says, that if you are a righteous person, you may face what? Many troubles. But the Lord will deliver them from the all. And we'll see at the end of the sermon why. The righteous face lots of troubles. Very interesting. We'll understand it today. Why we go through trouble as Christians. Being a Christian doesn't mean that there's going to be no trouble. There's going to be no challenges. There's going to be no issues. You're going to go through it, my friend. The challenge is that our faith may be changed in a remarkable way. That our faith level needs to up the game. So we need to understand it's a new level of trust. You have to up your game. My Father is always at work. That's what Jesus said. Even in your difficulty, God is at work behind the scenes. He's always at work. That's the promise. Do not be afraid. Here the promise is for the Israelites when they were facing the Egyptians, you know, coming after them at the Dead Sea. And it says, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And that's part of just becoming still. Just change your picture to know that what you are facing is so minute in comparison with the greatness of our God. And that's what it says here. Do not be afraid. Because when you get afraid, it drops your faith. It drops your trust. You're uncertain. You waver. You start to moan and complain, you know, and everything is wrong. Because fear has gripped your heart. And that's how the devil's antidote to faith is fear. If he can grip your heart with fear, you're in big trouble. So do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. The Lord will fight for you. You need to only be. You only need to be. What does it mean to be still? Don't do anything. Don't try any idea. You know that saying, a boer maak 'n plan, maar die duivel jaag hom aan. I don't know how to say that in English, you know. You know? But that's a saying, you know, that you can make many plans, but as you make your plans, dan jaag die duivel jou. And that's what we do. We occupy. A call to surrender. What does it mean? A call to surrender is to realign yourself. Just realign. To be quiet and say, listen here, what I'm going through now is just God building character in me. God is busy working in my life. Hallelujah. It's so exciting. You know, because he disciplines his children. God disciplines. You know, he prunes a tree. It's all part of a process that's not always lacquer. But he's busy. He's busy doing it. And we need to understand that. And the biblical waiting is not a passivity. Sometimes people think, you know, what do you mean, Andre? I must be quiet. Do you know how much work I've got? And how I need to do this and I need to do this? It was a godly man, Andrew Murray, that said, if I don't spend at least, I think, I don't know how many, 3-4 hours a day, I do not get through my daily work. And that's so contrary. It's like, hello, what do you mean? Because, you know, spending time with God, sitting at his feet, getting to know his heart, getting to know his ways, it's a bit of a waste of time here, you know. Come on, you know, there's stuff to do. That's our thinking. But here this man of God says, listen, if I don't spend enough time with God, because you're bringing God into your program, my friend. You're allowing God to step in front of you and to sort out stuff. Why? Because you have to come to a place where you're not seeking the things he can give you, but you seek him. And when you know, you're after God, then God is after you to bless you. And that's the thing that we're battling with, you know. We even our prayers are a lot on, God, will you please do this? You know, it's a grocery list, you know, we're putting out here. And say, God, will you do this? You know, and God, you need to touch this, you know. And Lord, oh, just remind, and Lord, yeah, the, you know, a good idea to do this like this, whatever. But when you can take whatever you face and you can put it there and say, God, I'm here this morning just to love you, just to know you, just to be in your presence. And God knows your heart because you're after the love of the Father. You want that love. And then God steps in and God undertakes for that problem. And it's just that call to surrender. That just that realignment, just to say, hey, where's my focus to get there? The first point you and I need to know is we need to acknowledge God is sovereignly control of all things. We need to acknowledge He's sovereign. It's amazing when Job went through this crisis in his life, he had three very lousy friends. And he calls them, "You are such lousy friends." It's the Andre version. But if you read it, you know, he says to them, you know, "Yuck, you know, who needs friends like this, you know?" Because I never had discernment to see what God's busy doing. And they were saying, "Yeah, but Job, you didn't do this. You must supposed to do this." And they gave Job all sorts of ideas and advice and, you know, how to go about this. And then right at the end, God comes along and God says, "Who is this? Who is this that obscure my plans with words, without knowledge?" Your own words, your own ideas sometimes are without knowledge. And those who come around you and say, you know, you must try this and do this, you know, whatever. God says, "Who's obscuring you?" Because your focus is in the wrong place. And then God says, "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you. I, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand it." If you read that whole chapter 38, 39, God doesn't say to Job, "You know, Job, let me just explain to you actually why this has happened to you." Isn't it amazing? God never explained. All that God did, God just said, "Job, you need to understand how big am I." And when you put that in, you know, that, you know, surrender this, your what's the word? Now, perspective, that's it. It's a good English word, perspective. When you get that in perspective and you understand, you know, where do I miss? Where have I gone wrong? Then you understand. And the second point, you need to come to terms with your dependence on God. What's your dependence on God? When the scripture says in Romans 11:36, "For from God are all things," come to terms. Whatever happens to you, God knows about it. Not only that, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That is your second focus, coming to terms with my dependence on God. God, I know you, incredible God. You are a sovereign God. You are an amazing, this is nothing for you. And then you come in terms to realize this, and yeah, there's God, and here am I. I'm his servant. And he's in charge. He's in control. And then the third point, seek spiritual strength from the Lord. So as you have got a picture of who God is, where you are, then you're busy focusing. So it's not a waiting is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. And if you understand how to go about it, you can actually see a breakthrough from God's side. Oh, my soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. All you, wait for the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's a call that God says, wait. Wait on me. Don't rush this thing. Allow me. And it's just, you're just busy realigning yourself all the time where God wants to take you. And then the fourth one is being patient and quiet. Was a mother and a child at the station waiting for the train when the trains were still going. Waiting at the station. And he developed a massive headache. And he went to his mother and he says to his mother, "Mom, I've got a headache." And his mother said, "Come, son, let me pray for you," you know, because he had no medication, nothing there. She said, "Let's pray. Let's trust the Lord to touch you." So she laid her hands on the little boy and says, Father, we trust you for a healing over there, you know. And she said to him, just sit quietly here, just wait, you know. And he sat for a while and then he started walking up and down, you know. He came to his mother later and said, Mom, I've still got a headache. It's not changing, you know. And she said, let's pray again. Pray, you know. And as he left, she says, son, you must wait for the manifestation. So he looked at her puzzled, you know. But in any case, you know, yeah, okay. You must just wait, you know. It's going to happen. Wait for the manifestation, yeah. So he's up and down on the station. He come back and he said to his mother, Mom, when is the man of the station coming? And the thing is, you and I need to be quiet. Just be quiet and understand, you know. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from Him. So while you are patient and you wait for the Lord, you think of what is the word saying. You wait. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And His word, I hope my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen for the morning. More than the watchmen for the morning. I wonder sometimes why God calls David a man after my own heart. And I really believe one of those things why God calls David a man after his own heart is because David had the ability to wait on God. Yes, he committed adultery. Yes, he committed a murder. Anybody here committed adultery? Can I see your hand? Anybody committed a murder? Can I just see your hand here? You know, come on. David might not fit in here this morning, you know, because he was a real wicked dude. But you know, the bottom line is, even with that, When he actually did stuff and he fell and he missed God's plan for that moment, he had the ability to understand how to wait on God, how to draw strength from the Lord. The fifth one, refrain from needless fear. Refrain from it. Do not fear. Because while you wait, while the word is on the one side, you need to know the devil wants you to start fearing, because maybe it's not happening quick enough because you've been patient, you've been waiting. I remember a friend of mine, we traveled Europe. I was 26, I was still young and handsome. Now I'm just handsome. Any case, so we traveled Europe and on the Euro rail for a month, and we basically slept on the train. We traveled first class, you know, very clever. If you're second class, you have to book a sleeping ticket. But we went first class, and then we just, you know, during the day, we walked the city. And at night, we just took off our boots. And then nobody wanted to go in the, stay in the room with us, you know. So we just slid the beds, and then we slept there, you know. And we took a nice bath in the train, whatever, you know. So we traveled cheap, you know. Any case, so that night, when we were between Switzerland and Austria, somebody did some shopping, you know, and opened the door and stole my friend's, all his travel documents, his passports, his traveler's checks, everything that, you know, your life depends on when you're overseas. So when passport control came around, they said to him, you know, where's your passport, you know, and he discovered, you know, somebody came in and slipped a bit. We had it around our waist because we thought we'll keep it close. And he said, listen, you have to get off at the next station, go and report to the police, and then, sorry, you know, we'll see, you know, what they say. You know. And there I'm on the train, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you know, it's a mess, you know. Yeah, all our plans, you know, the going, just enjoying Europe. And I wasn't very spiritual. I loved the Lord. I was actually a pastor then, you know. The halo was already there, you know, whatever. Any case, so... But, you know, we weren't really spending time with the Lord, you know. And I remember when I did Youth with a Mission, there was 66 reasons why God will not answer your prayer, you know. It sounded more like 666 to me, you know. But in any case, I knew, you know, that there's no, you know, it was nonsense. But I had this thing, you know, we didn't spend time enough with the Lord, you know. maybe God's not going to answer your prayer. But I just sit there and I just said, Lord, I just want to become quiet in my heart. I was just sitting there and said, Lord, would you speak to me? Because I know I've experienced God's voice in my life. And I sit there and I said, Lord, would you speak? Would you give us what's on your heart? And I felt the voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart saying to me, go to the bathroom, open the dustbin, it's in the dustbin. If I knew at that stage when that happened, I would have said to my friend, no, the Lord said to me, you know, I must just go to the bathroom, you know, and just press the, you know, dustbin, you know. But I kept quiet. I went to the bathroom, and as I walked in there, put my foot on the dustbin, and there, all the travel documents, his traveler's checks, everything, still in the bag. You see, for that guy, it was just the cash. He just wanted to take out the cash, and he didn't realize the pain he will cause us by just strung in the dustbin, you know. And I took it out, and I walked back. Opened the door, and I showed it to him. He said, where did you get it? I said, the Lord said to me, it's in the dustbin. And there we could travel. And that to me is when you wait on God. That sometimes even in that desperate moment, you can say, God, you need to undertake. And I celebrate God's voice. And I'm saying today, no, I'm not saying. I'm saying like Paul, it's not yet that I'm there in Philippians 3, verse 13. But one thing I do, I keep on taking hold of what God has for me. And that's part of when you get quiet, when you still, when you get your alignment correct of who God is and that God can step in. And that God's got many ways of doing it and show you how to do it. God takes you out of that problem. And here we could travel. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid what flesh do to me. And that's the challenge, you know, that you say that, you know the word. God is our refuge, our strength, ever present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear, though the earth gives way, the mountains move, and the heart of the seas, though its water roars and foams through the mountain, resemble at its swelling. No matter what the circumstances around us, no matter what we face, maybe here in the future of South Africa, is to know we're not going to fear. And then continue to learn and obey God's word. You know, so when you at bed and you lay your head down at bed, then watch what comes to your mind, the problems, the difficulties. When you lay your head on your pillow, just say, God, thank you. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that this is what your word says, that I need to wait. Oh, Lord, I wait for you. I wait for you like the watchman. I'm waiting for you. Make me known your ways. When you lay there and say, God, make your ways known to me. Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me to truth. Teach me. If you are God of my salvation, for you I wait all day long. I wait on you, Lord, because you're the one that can pull me through. And then the second last one, third last one, expect the Lord to come through. There must be expectation. After you're busy realigning yourself, how great God is, who you are in Him. What does the word say? You know, you become quiet and patient, you know. You don't fear. You focus on the word. And then you're starting to have an expectation, a thanksgiving expectation. And say, oh, Father, thank you that you can come through in amazing ways. And then have expectation in your heart. Hebrews says, let us hold so unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith. And then, not only that, but anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those. God rewards those who do what? Earnestly seek Him. Father, I seek You. I seek You. Not what you can do, but I seek You. And Lord, thank You, as I seek You, You got the ability to do whatever You have and want in this situation. Because I hold on to You. And then the second last one. Seeing the Lord through constant, seek Him through constant prayer. Just stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. All day long. Just say, Lord, thank You. You're in control. You just keep on realigning yourself. Keep on realigning yourself. My son, a while back, he was asking, you know, got a job. And then he asked for a certain division in the company. And I said, no, they put him in another division. He was extremely unhappy. And every day he will come home and then he will just moan at me and Ina, you know, saying he's so frustrated, you know, he's not moving forward, you know. And after 2 months, I had enough. I said to him, listen, yeah, I had enough. Now, tomorrow, you and I'm going to fast. We're going to wait on God. This must change now because I'm sick and tired of your moaning. Must we fast? I said, yeah, no food. We're going to wait on God now. I'm not going to do it alone. You can suffer some with my booty. But we're going to wait on God. God's going to do something here. You know, we need to see some change here. So that day we fasted. I prayed. I don't know how much he prayed, you know, with the hunger strike we're on. Any case, but, you know, I was saying, Lord, please come and do it, you know. You know, I wait on You, you know. And then I just realigning myself on this thing. Later that day, I said, listen, you know what happened? He says, no, nothing has happened, you know. I'm still there, you know. I thought, another day, you know. Any case, next day, I said, son, we're not going to stop. Listen, yeah, I don't know if we're going to die and go to heaven, but we're not going to stop. But this thing's going to change, you know. God saw my desperation. I'm not sure if it was His desperation, but it was my desperation. And I said to Him, okay, next day again, we fast. That afternoon when He came back, smiled on His face. He said, they moved me to the department that I wanted. And the whining stopped. Hallelujah. The challenge is, are you willing to fast, to go without food? Because when you start numbing your senses, your spirit becomes more alive. And you become more sensitive to the voice of God. Are you willing? And that's the challenge. And part of that is your seer. Oh God, I'm seeking You now. It's not trying to bend God's arm. But you see, your circumstances will stay at ease. And it's year after year, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. But for goodness sake, start waiting on God. Start doing stuff. And then the last one is the most interesting one. Others will see your breakthrough. I love this one. And glorify the Lord. There are two reasons why the righteous faces a challenge. Or the problems of the righteous are many. There are two reasons. Why that crisis that hits you. Why is it there? There's two reasons. The one is to build your character. God's building character. I'm trying to make a deal with God. And I said, Lord, you know, can't we go the comfort road on this one? Just make it quickly, you know. It's a bit difficult, this one. And God says, no, I'm building character. And that's why you need to keep on realigning yourself, you know. Seek the Lord. Be in His presence. Because God is busy building character. But the other one is very interesting, is to bring glory to God so that others will see how awesome your God is and get saved. And you never thought of that one. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. This is the cycle. This three verses puts a whole cycle that you need to go through to get to the end product where God wants you to be. Listen to this. I wait patiently for the Lord. You start off by waiting patiently for the Lord. That's where the things start. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. because I waited on him. He heard my cry, and now he's busy lifting me out of my challenge. He lifted me out of swimming pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm foundation. That's where the character part. Because of what has happened to me, he's put me on a firm foundation. He established character in me. He put a new song in my mouth. Expectation. Thank you, Lord. You know, you've done it. A hymn of praise to our God. Many, many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Your problem is God's opportunity to touch your family, to touch your work colleagues. So the bad news is, for some, you know, watch out, don't make too many friends with the unsaved. Because if you have too many friends with the unsaved, then lots of troubles is coming your way. Because God wants to save them all. But the good news is that your trouble will bring you victory, and the others will say, how did you get that right? And you know what? You give glory to God. And they say, amazing, what God you serve. Isn't that incredible? And he says, my friend, this is the God I serve. And people flock because they want to know that God that's got the breakthrough. Isn't that exciting? I love that. You know? It's wonderful how God does these things. My question this morning to you, are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking his face? Or you just want to see the miracle? The nation of Israel, they said to Moses, Moses, you go and talk to God. You go and stand in his presence. We're happy with that. And where God wanted to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land and be a father to them, they choose to reject God and say, Moses, you can have that relationship. We're too afraid of God. And they chose the opposite. And even today, where God invites you and me and say, listen here, would you seek me first? Would you come into my presence? And when you come into my presence and you enjoy me, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't seek the things. Seek the God of the things. And that's my challenge to you this morning, is that you realign yourself. And maybe, I don't know what you're facing, what challenge you have this morning, but if God has spoken to you, I want to ask you to stand. I would love to pray for you. Anybody? Thank you. Would you hold out your hands? Will you say after me, Father God, thank you. I am your child. I will wait on you. I'll be still. I will know you are God. Change me. I will not live in fear. I will not live in doubt. Your word promise that the work you started within me, you will complete it. I am confident my God will come through. But this day, I make a commitment to seek you, to be still and know you. Help me in Jesus' name. Can we all stand? Can we all stand? Father, as we all stand before you this morning, we want to receive the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. And everyone say, Amen. Amen. God bless you. Bless you. Amen. And a cookie. Well, there's one song. Sorry.
Cry holy, 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 and we
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Those that need prayer, come forward. The elders will be in front. Thanks very much. Thanks for worshiping with us.
Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hand is clean. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and dressed in. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah's through and all alone.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name.
Oh, praise the name.